Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you, Tim. Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download, where we have an interesting program for you this week. We recently had the Rep Showcase in Bellevue, which is close to Seattle here, and we have a couple of the programs done at the Showcase to play for you in the podcast, just so you know what's been going on there, and maybe encourage you to next year, why come on in and attend the Showcase. It's a lot of fun. A lot of people enjoyed it. This week, we're going to listen to the big comedy show from Brad Zinn. Roger, take it away.
He has worked with such celebrities as Dick Van Dyke, Linda Carter of Wonder Woman, Shirley Jones, Cliff Robertson, Richard Crenna, Bob Crosby, Harry Anderson, and many others. His accomplishments in radio, film, television, and on stage have been recognized in Who's Who in the World and International Men of Achievement. Brad loves to speak with his audiences personally after the show. He also has a keepsake video DVD available. Now, prepare to laugh along with your favorite comedians of days gone by. Ladies and gentlemen, the great comedians, those felt hat and big cigar funny men.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime! Ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to present The Brad Zinn Show. Starring Brad Zinn. Written and directed by Brad Zinn. Produced for the stage by Brad Zinn. Choreography by Brad Zinn. Special visual effects and computer animation by Brad Zinn. With the Brad Zinn Orchestra and Chorus. Please note, due to illness, the part of Brad Zinn will be played by Meryl Streep. And now, ladies and gentlemen, finally, please welcome the man who defines modesty, Brad Zinn!
Hello, let's make some noise out there! Let me hear ya! Come on, you can do it! Hello, Seattle! Hello, Bellevue! Hello, Reps! Thank you so very much. I am so excited to be with you. This is my very first time at Reps, and I'm thoroughly enjoying myself, and everybody's been fabulous, and I want to make sure that tonight is absolutely perfect for you folks. I really do. So the first thing I need to know is, how was the tuxedo? Is it okay? Is the tux all right? Is it good? It's an Armani. It's brand new. It's an Armani. Yeah, Salvation Armani. It's a little loose, too. I'm on that new British pounds and pence diet. 5 more pounds, I lose my pence. Well, as I said, I'm very excited to be with all of you nice folks here that celebrate the golden age of radio. And I would like to tell you just a little bit more about myself. That was a wonderful introduction, Roger. Kim, where's Roger? Thank you, Roger. You read that just exactly the way that I wrote it. And you know, now that I've heard it out loud, I really wish I had a better act. No, I'm just kidding. I was born in the late 1950s and raised in the late 50s and through the 60s. Just so you don't have to do the math in your head, I am now in my late 30s. And all right, my really late 30s. And I grew up in the golden age of television, actually. Now, I don't know if you remember, we had one of those console TVs, one of those big cabinet, you know, it was wood. It took up most of one wall in the living room, you know, made of oak or cherry wood or what. And you opened the doors, and there it was, 9 glorious inches of black and white TV. And we turned it on, and it took an hour to warm up. And then we watched for another hour the test pattern, just to see if that Indian head would ever move. And then they had something at night that they don't have anymore. It was called sign-off. And the home of the brave.
Oh,
And you'd wake up and you'd know it was time to go to bed then. But that's okay because your TV served as a nightlight. When you shut it off, it took 20 minutes for that little white dot to fade away. So now you know the era in which I grew up. And they had something back then they don't have anymore, the great variety shows. Like the Jimmy Dean Show, the Jackie Gleason Show, the Judy Garland Show, the Danny Kaye Show. Here's one you haven't heard in 150 years, the Gary Moore Show with Durwood Kirby. And from that show came a young lady who went on to have her own hit variety show on CBS on Saturday nights,
Carol Burnett.
And Saturday nights on ABC television was the Hollywood Palace, with a different guest host each week. But on Sunday nights was the granddaddy of them all. That was the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, I love the singing and the dancing, but it was the men and women who made me laugh, the comedians that I lived for, I waited for. And in the early 1960s, a young comedian came along to have his own late-night talk show. And he went on for 30 years to become the king of late night television. Now, more than any other entertainer, I think he was responsible for me wanting to be in show business, because it became my dream as a young man to have an act, be invited on his show, do my act, and then be invited over to the couch to trade witty banter with him. Well, that dream died for me on May 22, 1992. Because he left that show, and pretty much from show business altogether. We didn't hear much from him after that. We lost him in January of 2005. I don't think there'll ever be anybody to replace him, and I miss him to this very day. Do we still have any Johnny Carson fans here tonight? Yeah. Yay! All right, I'm so glad to hear that, because this is the audience participation part of the program. Now, you don't have to get up or move or do anything like that. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to get into this. I need you to become. Use your best Stanislavski method acting, okay? I need you to become the Burbank studio audience. And let's see if this brings back any memories. It is I, Kernak the Magnificent, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-telling soothsayer from the East, and former food taster to Idi Amin. They don't remember Idi Amin. It's going to be a long night. I hold in my hand the envelopes, which, as any child of four can plainly see, have been hermetically sealed and kept in a mayonnaise jar on Funkin' Wagnall's porch since noon today. No one knows the contents of these envelopes except I, in my borderline divine and mystical way, will try to ascertain the answers to the questions without ever before having seen the questions. Is that about it? You buy the premise, folks, you buy the bit. I hold in my hand the first envelope. I must have complete silence. So far, you're doing a wonderful job. All systems go.
All systems go.
All together or not at all.
All together or not at all.
That's what I said, all systems go. What happens if you take a Sinutab, a Maalox, and a Phenamint? This is the kind of an audience that would toss a hand grenade at Bambi's mother. Steroids. What can you get from sitting on a stereo? May the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your shorts and your arms be too short to reach. Karnak take short naps. A bungee jump and a date with Geraldo Rivera. Name two things that end with a jerk on your leg. May a swarm of desert grubworms hold a jazz festival in your shorts. Piggly Wiggly. Describe Kermit's wedding night. May the bluebird of happiness leave you a surprise in your bed sheets. I hold in my hand the last envelope. May a crazed city councilman rezone your sister as a business district. Gibraltar, Joe Namath, and the Nixon-Frost interviews. Name a rock, a jock, and a croc. Sim Salabim. Johnny Carson, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you just a little bit more about myself because, well, I just think I'm endlessly fascinating. Now, I do want to tell you that I was born in the late 50s. I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and my sister was married and living in Las Vegas when I was growing up in the 60s. There's a few years between us. She's about 16 years old. I love saying that. She's 16 years older than I. So I went to school in the winter in Phoenix, and then I spent my summers in Las Vegas. So Las Vegas is sort of like a second home to me, you see. I was there all through the 60s when they opened the Landmark and the International Hilton. And now Vegas was a much, much different city. Just so you can stop wondering, it really is all mine. Well, it will be after the next two payments. Now, Vegas was much different back then than it is now. There was not much for young people to do back then, you see. They had the Goofy Golf and bowling at the Showboat Hotel, and they had a go-kart track at the Hacienda Hotel, but there wasn't much else for a young person to do, except that occasionally one of the big stars would come to Vegas, and if you say Dennis, I'll slap you. Yeah. One of the big stars would come to Vegas and do what's called a dinner show. They don't even have those anymore. A dinner show was where you could take young people because the showgirls would keep their clothes on and the comics would keep their jokes clean. So when I was 9 years old, and this is the truth, when I was 9 years old, I got to go to the Copa Room at the Sands Hotel and see in person on stage after dinner Red Skelton. And then when I was 10 years old, I got to go to the Desert Inn Hotel. And after dinner, I saw a full concert by Danny Kaye. And Danny loved children, if you remember, went around the world for UNICEF. He found out there was a young fan in the audience, and I got invited to go backstage after the show. And I got to meet Danny Kaye and get his autograph, which I still have to this day. It's true. I was 10 years old. But there's one entertainer, one comedian, that I never got to see in person. Now, I have to tell you that that left me with kind of an empty feeling, if you know what I mean. You know, I always thought I'd see him the next time, because he led us to believe that he was going to be around forever, and he almost was. Now, he was born Nathan Birnbaum in New York City, son of a cantor, and raised in extreme poverty, one of 12 children. Show business was his ticket out. And I always wish that I had one more opportunity to see him live and in person. And if he could be here with us tonight, well, I think I know exactly what he might say. Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here this evening. Who am I kidding? At my age, I'm happy to be anywhere. At my age, flowers scare me. I know what you're thinking. Look, he can walk too. At my age, I get a standing ovation just for standing. I've had a very exciting life, and I expect the second half to be just as exciting. I just returned from a cruise. Now, there are two types of cruises, for pleasure and with children. to live a long life, to be successful in life, to live a long life, you have to do something that you love. Imagine getting up every morning to do something that you hate. I'd much rather be a failure at something I love than a success at something I hate. But the real secret to happiness is to have a legitimate excuse not to attend a bar mitzvah. Now, to be successful in show business, you have to have three things. First, you have to have a talent. You have to develop this talent. And then you have to marry her like I did. To me, happiness is a good meal, a good cigar, a good martini, and a good woman. Or a bad woman, depending on how much happiness you can stand. A lot of you have asked me about my health, and I'm here to tell you there's nothing I can't do at the age of 87 that I couldn't do at the age of 19, which should give you a pretty good idea of how decrepit I was at 19. At 81, I became a country singer. Why not? At 81, I'm older than most countries. A lady asked me last week, she said, George, is it true that you smoke 10 to 15 cigars a day? I said, yes. She said, is it true that you drink 3 to 4 martinis a day? I said, yes. She said, is it true that you go out with young girls? I said, yes. She said, what does your doctor say? I said, he's dead. I'd go out with women my own age, but there are no women my age. And then at my age, I smoke a cigar because if I don't hold on to something, I might fall down. At my age, just putting the cigar in the holder gives me a big thrill. I'll let you think about that. Actually, I did go to my doctor last week. He said, Doctor, you've got to give me something to lower my sex drive. He said, George, at your age, it's all up here. I said, I know, I want it lower. When I was in Las Vegas, the women used to throw their hotel keys at me. And then I found out it was after they'd checked out. Boom, 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 down in the garden where the red roses grow. Oh my, I long to go. Pluck me like a flower. Cuddle me an hour, lovey. Let me land that red rose, right? That's enough. If I did them all, we'd be here all night. You might be wondering what I'm doing here this evening. I'm going to tell you. If I get big laughs, I'm a comedian. And if I get small laughs, then I'm a humorist. And if I get no laughs, then I'm a singer. And if I get laughs while I'm singing, then I'm a comedian again. Now, before I go, I would like to do another number for you, and it's a very sad ballad. And then it goes like this. Morty and Mikey, please. That was very nice. Now play it like you're not getting paid. Better. A sweet young girl was jilted by her husband. He left her and went his merry way. With tearful eyes, she wrote her final letter. And this is what her broken heart had to say. I'm returning every present that you gave me. I'm sending back each letter that you wrote. Each sweet memento that we cherished, the locket that I wore around my throat. Enclosed you'll find the mortgage to the house, dear. That I'm fair, you must admit is true. I'm returning everything except the baby. That's the one thing I didn't get from you. Isn't that sad? I love to sing and I love to drink scotch. Most people would rather hear me drink scotch. I don't know what they have planned for me in the afterlife, but I'm taking my music. And when the man comes to knock at my door to give me back my pictures, I'm not answering. I've decided to stay in show business till I'm the only one left. I can't die. I'm booked. Besides, I'd lose a fortune. Besides, I died once in Altoona, and I don't like to do anything that's been done before. I'm looking for a new finish. All I ever wanted to do was to be in show business. I tried everything. I was not an overnight sensation. I had to change my name every week because nobody would book me twice. Now, it's true, it's true. Then one night, my life changed forever. I was doing an act called Burns and Lorraine. I was Burns. And a pretty young actress came backstage after the show, and for some reason, she thought I was Billy Lorraine. She said, I understand you're looking for a new partner, and so am I. Well, this was news to me. So I invited her out for coffee. She did an Irish sister act, Irish songs and jigs. And she had one green eye and one blue eye, and a voice that would carry in the largest theaters. Here I have a picture of her. It took me a long time to convince her that I wasn't Billy Lorraine. Took me even longer to convince her to marry me. We were together for 38 years, and it was the easiest job I ever had in show business. Every night I'd walk out on stage and say, Gracie, how's your brother? And she talked for 38 years. And she was smart. She was very smart. She once said to me, George, I'm so smart, I've got brains I haven't even used yet. She must have been smart. She married me. One night I came home and caught her putting a big roast and a little roast in the oven. I said, Gracie, why are you putting a big roast and a little roast in the oven? She said, because when the little one burns, I know the big one's done. That was Gracie. Now, the world knew her as Gracie, but I always called her Googie. And that's because one night she couldn't get to sleep. She rolled over to me and she said, George, I can't sleep. Say something funny. Make me laugh. Well, I couldn't think of anything. I didn't have any writers then. All I could think of was Googie, Googie, Googie. She laughed so hard she fell asleep. So from that night on, she was known to me as Googie. Now, I never married after Gracie, and I probably never will. The reason is the thought of Gracie keeps me young. And that's what's important, folks. You gotta stay young. You can't help getting older, but you don't have to get old. A lot of people practice to get old. They sit around and drool on themselves and compare gravy stains. Which is not good unless they're expensive gravy stains. At a bar down in Dallas, an old man chimed in, and I thought he was out of his head. Just being a young man, I just laughed it off when I heard what this old man had said. He said, I'll never again turn the young ladies' heads or go running off into the wind. I'm three quarters home from the start to the end, and I wish I was 18 again. I wish I was 18 again and going where I've never been. But old folks and old oaks standing tall just pretend, and I wish I was 18 again. Now time turns the pages, and oh, life goes so fast. The years turn the dark hair all gray. I talk to some young folks, but hey, they don't understand the words this old man has to say. I wish I was 18 again and going where I've never been. But old folks and old oaks standing tall just pretend, and I wish I was 18 again. Lord, I wish I was 18 again. Thank you. That's on my latest album. I have to go now because I'm doing a party at Jack Benny's house. Now, when you go to a party at Jack Benny's house, you not only have to bring your own scotch, you have to bring your own rocks. It only takes one drink to get me drunk. The trouble is, I can never remember if it's the 13th one or the 14th one. I always tell Jack I love to hear him play the violin. And then Jack always tells me that he loves to hear me sing. That's why we've been friends together for over 50 years. We lie to each other. Well, it looks like we've made it through another show, and it's time to say goodnight. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Bye.
Goodnight, folks. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Now cut that out! Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so happy to be with you here this evening with my old friend, George Burns. Did you enjoy seeing George again? Thank you. I'll be sure and tell him at the party. You know, George and I are probably the two oldest friends in all of show business. I mean, we even double dated our wives together before we were married. To our wives, you understand, not to each other. Now, I know you've noticed that I brought my Stradivarius with me here this evening. And that's because I've had a request, but I'm going to play it anyway. Now, it really is a Stradivarius, because if it's not, I'm out $110. Now, the reason that I got it so cheap is because it's one of the very few Stradivarius that was made in China. Now, I don't know if you know this, but today, March 29th, is Pearl Bailey's birthday. Did you know that? No? Well, it's true. You can go home and look it up in your Funkin' Wagnalls. Now, Pearl and I are old friends in Hollywood, so I thought that I would play Happy Birthday to Pearl on the violin. And if you folks would sing Happy Birthday, I know that Pearl would get a big kick out of it. Just tuning up. All great violinists do that. Well, they do. Well, folks, you're going to have to sing louder than that if you don't want to hear the violin. Now, let's try it again. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I play a lot of concerts around the country to raise money for symphony orchestras. It's true. It's true. Now, let me explain how this works. They charge anywhere from $5 to $100 a ticket. The $5 seats are right down here in the front. The $100 seats are all the way in the back. And for $200, you don't even have to come in the building. You know, after one concert I played, a critic in the paper wrote, "Last night, Jack Benny played Mendelssohn. Mendelssohn lost." Now, to redeem myself, I would now like to play the Mendelssohn's Concerto in D minor. It runs 45 minutes. Now, I have one I think you'll like. Well, what did you expect? It's an old violin. You know, I get recognized from time to time wherever I go. And I was up at the White House not too long ago, and I guess this security guard must have recognized me, you see. And he said, "Excuse me, but what do you have in that violin case?" So I thought I'd have some fun with him. And I said, "It's a machine gun." And he said, "Well, that's all right, Mr. Benny, as long as it's not your violin." Well, I have to go now because I'm doing an appointment with my insurance agent. You see, I have a piece of the rock, the Prudential, you understand. Now, I don't want to say exactly how much insurance I have, but when I go, they go. Thank you and good night. Thank you. Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the point in the program that I always carve out just a couple of minutes to say some thank yous. Because, you see, although this is what's known as a one-man show and I'm the only one up here getting applause, it actually takes a lot of people to make a night like this possible. And so I would like to thank, first of all, the reps, volunteers, and committee members and board members that put on this convention every year and have invited me to be a part of it. I don't think they often get a round of applause. Could we give them a little recognition? Thank you. Thank you. And there are two gentlemen who I've put through their paces today. My wife normally does this, and she's recovering from rotator cuff surgery and could not be with us here this time around. She'll be with me at SpurdVac in November, if any of you are coming to that. And I think she's going to do her vaudeville sand paintings then. We'll see. Okay, yeah. And you'll love that. Believe me, you'll love that. It hasn't been seen in over 70 or 80 years, and it's a lost art form, vaudeville sand painting. But in the meantime, these two gentlemen jumped into the breach, and it was just about 30 minutes of rehearsal. We've put this together, and I think they've done marvelously well. Jim and Brian over here, would you take a bow? Thank you very, very much. I want to take, how are we doing on time? I want to take, my watch is not, how much?
7:09.
Okay, we got a few minutes. I want to tell you why I put this show together. Back in 1997, we had just lost George Burns in March of 96. We lost Red Skelton in September of 1997. We lost Dean Martin Christmas Day 1995.
Well, everybody loves somebody sometime. Oh, you know, Gene and I just love those cards and letters that you keep sending in. You know, I have a grandmother that's 87 years old, and she don't even use glasses. She drinks straight out of the bottle.
Now, Dean was one of the great comedians of the 20th century. Even his old partner, Jerry Lewis, would tell you that.
Oh, lady person, hello there. Why, what is everybody looking at?
And Dean was underappreciated, I think, as a great comedian. But I got to thinking about the loss of all these great entertainers that I grew up with, and I thought, wouldn't it be a shame, because there's two or three generations coming up behind me that will never, based on what I see in movies and on television and especially computer games now, they'll never have the chance to know what good, clean, timeless humor is really like. And I think that's a tragedy.
Amen.
I'm glad to hear that. So here's what I ask. In all of my audiences, in all of my shows, I have one simple request, and that is if you have children, grandchildren, or great-grandchildren in your life, please take a moment and do for them what my parents did for me, and that is to point out these wonderful entertainers and share their memories with them. You know, there's thousands of hours of golden age of radio available on the computer for absolutely free, no charge. And the first time you share a golden age of radio show with a young person, you know what you're going to do? You open their mind up, because radio is theater of the mind. And based on these computer games and all of these fantastic movies with computer graphic animation, they don't get to use their minds anymore. So you're going to open up their imagination, and maybe the first time or two they're going to look at you funny. But eventually they will thank you because you will have changed their lives. You'll allow them to use a part of their mind that they just didn't know was there. And that's my purpose. I want to share these memories. I want to pass them on to the next generation. And if we really, truly want a kinder, gentler America, isn't it time that we started with the humor? Yeah. With our humor. Thank you. I need to do something right now that I am loath to do. So you'll just have to forgive me right up front. I don't like doing this, but I am obligated to do this. I'm sorry. Now, I kid around a lot, but I'm actually pretty proud of this. This is a souvenir DVD video of about an hour of the highlights of our program. Let me tell you, I'm not doing everything that I can here tonight. There's so much more on this disc. Will Rogers, and there's a lot more of Groucho and Jimmy Durante and a lot of other things that I can't do for you here tonight because we're limited on time. But this was shot with three digital cameras. And at the Herberger Theater in downtown Phoenix, all digital cameras. Then it was transferred to a digital computer where it was digitally edited and then digitally transferred to this digital video disc, which means it's broadcast quality, okay? And tonight I brought a few copies with me here this evening for $100 each, and I'll be happy to, what, too much? Okay, for you folks here tonight, just for the reps people, how about $10? How about $10? Would that be okay? Hey, I just saved you $90. Okay. Where's the love? Okay. These make great stocking stuffers. And only 249 shopping days till Christmas. And for those that couldn't be here tonight, these make a great gift for the folks back home. And there's one other reason. Well, no, I shouldn't even mention that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't. It's too embarrassing. And I really you know what? My wife told me that I really should say this, but I'm torn. Well, thank you, but I feel bad. There is another reason. I hope that you might consider taking one of these home with you tonight. The truth is that. The truth is that I don't have enough money to get back to Phoenix. All right, we're going to wrap things up now with a little song that I wrote along with a friend of mine whose name is Bill Swayze. I mention his name in every show because that way I don't have to pay him royalties. This is a little song that puts a big red bow around how I feel about these wonderful entertainers that inspired me to want to be in show business. And I call it simply The Great Comedians. I want to go back and live again in the time of those great comedians. Let me turn back time to a better day when the laughter came a better way. Let me go back and laugh once again at those felt hat and big cigar funny men. Just two bits at the palace for nine acts that played. Let's go back to vaudeville and the two a day. The Marx Brothers took us to the opera and the races and made us laugh with gags and quips and funny faces. Room service, send up a larger room. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
What's that the lady in 304 wants ice water? Well, tell her to peel an onion. That'll make her ice water. I just spotted a leopard, and you thought they were born that way. I once shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I don't know. Then we tried to remove the tusks, but they were embedded so firmly they wouldn't budge. Of course, everybody knows in Alabama the Tuscaloosa. But that's irrelevant. We took some pictures of the native girls, but they weren't developed. That's okay, we're going back again in a couple of weeks. Either he's dead or my watch has stopped. I never forget a face, but in your case, I'll make an exception. I've got a good mind to join a club and beat you over the head with it. Can I buy back my introduction to you, sir? You, sir, can leave in a taxi, and if you can't leave in a taxi, you can leave in a huff. And if that's too soon, you can leave in a minute and a huff. He's so full of alcohol, if you put a lighted wick in his mouth, he'd burn for 3 days. Hello, Toots. Move over.
Oh, God.
So it was good for you, too. If I were any closer to you, I'd be in back of you. Marry me, lady, and I'll never look at another horse. You said you were loaded, and I'll marry you as soon as I get loaded. You said there would be a lot of bonds between us. I certainly hope so. E-bonds, savings bonds, war bonds, junk bonds. I was married by a judge. I should have asked for a jury. You take me and I'll take a vacation. If I married you, I'd need a vacation. I could dance with the cows till you came home. On second thought, let me dance with the cows till you come home. Let me cover your face with kisses. On second thought, let me cover your face. If we were married, I could see you now, bending over a hot stove all day in the kitchen. Somehow, I can't see the hot stove. Say the secret word, and the duck will come down, and you'll split $50. In the meantime, you and this gentleman split all this applause. Outside of a dog, a book is a man's best friend. Inside of a dog, it's too dark to read. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like bananas. I've had a perfectly wonderful evening, but this wasn't it. I would never belong to a club that would have me as a member. Those are my principles, and if you don't like them, I have others. And you can quote me as saying, I've been misquoted. Dr. Quackenbush wanted in surgery. Hooray for Captain Spaulding. Oh, Lydia, the tattooed lady. You could learn a lot from Lydia.
Are they still there?
But for this little kid, Tuesday nights on CBS, those were the very best of all, because that's when I got to see one of America's clowns named Red. You want to try that one more time? You ready now? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Well, here I am, Clem Kiddiddlehopper.
How do you spell that?
Wrong every time. I feel good. I feel good. I do. A little lady came up to me before the show tonight, and she said, you look good. That's the three stages of man, you know. Youth, middle age, and you look good. You know, my doctor says that I look like $1 million. All green and wrinkled, you know. I'm sorry, what? What, an announcement? Well, we're right in the middle of the show. It's that important, is it? Well, if you say so. Thank you. You're new here, aren't you?
You're not going to get old here. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, it appears that we have an announcement we need to make. And I'm sorry, I really don't need these, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm at the age in life where curiosity outweighs vanity. Oh, that's much better. Oh, isn't this nice? It's so nice to find an honest person in today's world. It seems that there's a little lady at the back of the auditorium by the name of Helen, it looks like Hunt, and she's found a small lady's silver purse, inside of which is a lipstick, a compact, a diamond ring, gold watch, pearl necklace, and $500 in cash, but no identification. So if anyone here this evening has lost a purse matching this description, you can go to Helen Hunt for it. You proud of that, ain't you? We're going to miss them around here. Oh, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I was flying in here today. I was seated next to a man of the cloth. And the stewardess came down the aisle with the drink cart. And I said, "Father, would you care for a little something to drink?" He said, "No, thanks. Too close to the home office." You know, that reminds me, I had a dream last night that I died and I went to heaven and I met God. And he sneezed, and I didn't know what to say. Oh, I got one for you. See, Gertrude and Heathcliff, the two seagulls, you know, the two seagulls. Oh, that feels good. The two seagulls, see, they're flying over Washington, D.C., and Gertrude turns to Heathcliff and says, "This one's on the house." We've got a nudger in the front row. You know what a nudger is. I tell a joke, she nudges him, he says, "I got it." Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, I have to go now because I have to go home to Little Red, my wife, you know. Let me ask you a question. How can your wife see the smallest blonde hair on your lapel and miss the entire garage door? You know, I love my wife, Little Red. She's wonderful, but wherever she spits, grass never grows again. Well, I want to thank you for being here this evening. I've always believed that we were put here on earth to build and not to destroy, and that time is our most precious commodity. So I want to thank you for spending your time with me here this evening. And if someday you find yourself not feeling too well, and you should happen to remember some little silly thing that I have said or done, and it brings a smile to your face or a chuckle to your heart, then I'll know that my purpose as your clown has been fulfilled. Good night, and may God bless. Let me go back and laugh once again at those felt hat and big cigar funny men. From vaudeville they came and showed us the way. The laughs that they gave us live on to this day. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Seattle, Bellevue, Reps, Washington. God bless you. Thank you. I'll see you over at the table. Thank you. That mic right there.
All right.
Oh, snake, it would have bit you.
Well, oh, and you got some sales over here.
Yeah.
They're going.
Get back to Phoenix.
We are going to take. I know we're running a little late, like 15 minutes over. So we are going to take that 15-minute break, and I'm sure that's what we're going to do, and then just roll everything back 15 minutes. Right? And we're going to move to the next room. Take a break, 15 minutes. We'll be over there with four of our guests, remembering their days in radio. And then, yeah, Stuffy, Beverly, yeah, Tommy and Ivan. I didn't want to call them in case somebody didn't show. Yeah. But and then after that, Private Lives with Richard and Patricia Hurd. And we'll end it with Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.